my multifamily business, one of the reasons I just love the structure is it's so crystal clear. I mean, I'm the asset manager and I'm the sponsor. Let's say like I'm closing 130 units next month. Well, the responsibilities are very clear for me. I identified the deal. I underwrote the deal. I raised the capital, it's about $2 million for the deal, and I'm responsible for executing the business plan. So that's great. All my limited partner investors, they have zero responsibility except for writing the check.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today, but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.
Hey, welcome back, Pillars of Wealth Creation listeners. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me today, I'm excited to have Devin Elder. Devin, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thanks. How are you, Todd?
I am doing great. Devin is a multifamily syndicator in San Antonio, Texas. He started with one single family rental. He scaled that business to over 100 projects, and now he's shifted to focus on multifamily, which now he's a principal of over 750 units in Central Texas. With that, Devin, can you let our listeners know a little bit about a little bit more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me on. It's good to connect. You know, we've connected in the real world, and now it's good to connect over the podcast too. So both channels are awesome. I started investing in 2012 in single family rental real estate. I joined a mentorship group. And while I'm no longer part of that group, I am a part of various different groups. And I credit that with kind of being able to excel quickly and minimize mistakes. And I always recommend that for people. So started in single family because I really didn't have a lot of capital when I started. You need a few things in this business. And I didn't have really any of them. You know, I didn't have much capital. I didn't have much experience. So I started small with a little single family rental house, used the famed Burr strategy to buy it, renovate it, refinance it, and rent it, and pulled out most of my capital, and a light bulb went off. I said, well, you know, I'm not starting with a lot of money here, but if I can do these rental houses and I can pull out most of my capital every time on a refinance, and I'm creating value in the houses, and now I've got cash flow and equity and all these things that you read about in Rich Dad, Poor Dad. The light bulb just went off for me. I said, this is it. You know, I was at a point in my career in the corporate world where I'd been out of school for a number of years and was working the corporate world. And I realized my ladder was against the wrong building. And even if I climbed to the top of it, I knew I wasn't going to be where I wanted to be. So found real estate. I knew that was going to be it. And I've been very aggressively pursuing real estate since then. And at some point doing the single family stuff, as some of your listeners can probably relate, you run into some some scaling issues on the single family side. And so I started looking into multifamily and started buying a number of years ago in that space. And I actually prefer that business model for a lot of different reasons. And that's where I spend most of my time in the real estate world today is managing these larger projects, you know, 100 plus units and doing repositioning on them and asset managing them and acquiring them and raising capital. And so that's kind of where I'm at in my career, is kind of in a build mode, growth mode on these larger multifamily projects.
So Devin, you said you prefer the multifamily, and there's reasons for that. What are some of the reasons you prefer the multifamily over the single family?
Sure. I think when you're focusing on the larger multifamily stuff, 100 units plus in my mind, maybe a little smaller, but you've got some economies of scale in terms of staff, and you've got the ability to plug in third-party management, which is not a savior for every challenge you're going to face as a multifamily operator, but boy, they sure do handle a lot for 3 or 4% of revenue, you know, HR, staffing, marketing, all those kinds of things that I've done, but I find that it's just not a great use of my time to do. You hire a professional third-party management company to come in and run that, and I think that's just a tremendous bang for the buck. You've just got a bigger, you know, you've got the budget on a project like that to put in the rehab dollars, to hire the right team in terms of attorneys and management companies, construction management, that kind of thing. There's just more dollars to play with to get the project done right. And it just scales better. You know, I mean, it's not uncommon, as you know, to hear people say go from zero apartments to 150 to 400 to 600 over a couple of years. Whereas it's not as common to hear people that are scaling single family business out that big, partially because your management fees on single family typically are higher and eat into your margins, and there's other things there. But for me, when I'm looking at my business model and my plan for growth, it's so much easier to accomplish with a larger property. I mean, I've even had refinances and closings go easier on, you know, a $5 million loan than on a house. And I mean, you hear that from people, but I've lived it, and I'm going, you know, well, if it's this easy to do these big ones, and not that it's all easy, but having done quite a bit of both, you know, in retrospect, the bigger stuff is actually easier. So once I kind of discovered that, it was an obvious choice to which business to grow.
Yeah. I agree with a lot of those points for sure. What when you're operating this multifamily business, and even take us back to the, you know, when you were doing the single families and stuff, what are some key ingredients to operating the business successfully?
Well, I think it all comes down to systems and people. I'm a big fan of Dan Sullivan. Has an organization called Strategic Coach for entrepreneurs. And he talks about thinking about the who, not the how. So I think a lot of us tend to think about how are we going to grow this business? How are we going to scale this? And I think maybe the how is the systems, and I'll touch on that in a minute, but really who and finding those superstar partners. That might be property management, that might be a contractor, that might be a business partner or an investor, and making sure that that's somebody that you're going to work well with and that can deliver. And, you know, I think, I credit a lot of my success to finding that one certain investor or finding that one certain partner or that one certain property management company that's allowed me to just say, wow, okay, they're very competent at this. They can handle that, take it off my plate, and I can focus on my core competencies and narrow down my skill sets. So today my focus is pretty narrow, and I'm always working at narrowing it. And that's really finding the next deal and finding the dollars and the equity to put that deal together. And everything else is, you know, I want to have another member of the team do that, whether it's an accountant or a property manager, or, you know, I'm putting together a plan to hire an asset manager at some point, and they'll take on some responsibilities there. So narrowing my focus. And then the other piece is just processes. You know, I'm real big on documenting processes for the company, and a big turning point for me was within the last year is hiring an assistant. And it was extremely difficult for me at first because I had all this knowledge in my head and I had a very hard time translating it. But once I embraced really stopping and putting a process down to the most minute level so that literally a kid off the street could come in and do it as far as the task, that has just liberated me like I can't even describe. And so now I'm a big proponent of documenting everything, processes, and getting those processes in the hands of other people to execute on a regular basis. So it might just be small tasks, but you know, I think as an entrepreneur, the threat is death by a thousand paper cuts, right? It might not be this huge event that wipes you out, but you might look back after a 14-hour day and go, what did I really do today that was consequential? And, you know, it wasn't bookkeeping entries. It wasn't updating a social media profile or posting a video. I mean, all that stuff can be taught to other people and have them run it. So that's been a key for me is the right team, and then creating processes that are repeatable for somebody else to execute so I can continue to focus on my highest, unique ability.
Yeah. I think hiring people can be really difficult because for me, and I think for many people, you go, well, geez, you know, I'm doing all right now, but then I hire this person and I got to pay them and I got to make sure I can pay them their $30,000 or their $40,000 or whatever it is, $50,000, whatever it is. And then you go, well, that's going to take away $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 from me. Is it worth it to do? I think a lot of people get stuck there. How did you get past that?
Yeah. So I'll speak specifically, I guess I have three kind of examples. One is property management, you know, specifically to large multifamily. I'm a proponent of third-party property management. Now you've got to vet them. You've got to have a great relationship. They've got to, you know, be the right company. It's not just any old third-party property management company, but they take so much off your plate as a multifamily operator. That's been huge. And that's kind of a plug and play. I mean, they're going to come in, they're going to take care of all those things that a property management company does. So that's pretty easy. Another one, second example I'll speak to is just my assistant. This was aided by hiring somebody over in the Philippines that helped with that sticker shock. Because I hired somebody full time, but it's still, when you look at all my expenses and overhead for my business, it's not that big of a number. And for the first few months, I really struggled. Boy, I'm paying this girl 8 hours a day. And some days I really didn't have much for her, but I just kept building training, assigning her tasks, working with her. And then now she's, you know, really very close to being kind of busy all day across a couple of my different businesses. So that was helpful to get somebody in the Philippines that was part of a staffing company that a friend of mine owns to help cut costs there. Another one that what I did with my single family business, rather than build a business and hire a construction manager and hire, you know, different things or build out an internal GC team, when I made my real big shift from single family to multifamily, I just brought in a partner. You know, I'd done a few deals with a guy that was a really sharp kid, young guy, construction background, real estate agent background. So I just said, hey, man, why don't you just come in and plug in right away as a partner? I'm not going to have to, you know, manage you or train you. We're partners on this deal. You're going to run the rehabs on these things and I'll continue to fund everything. And that's been a very good partnership. And it's 100% based on just finding the right guy. Cause I've had some partnerships on some deals that, you know, that didn't go well. And it was my fault for not paying attention to my gut at the beginning on those. So that's three ways I've kind of addressed hiring is partnering, my assistant over in the Philippines, it was a lower cost that I could stomach. And then the property management company, which just handles all kinds of stuff for a pretty nominal fee, in my opinion.
Awesome. Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong, our sponsor, Nate Armstrong. He's with homeinvest.com and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate, talk to him, learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So It doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks. And we'll get back to our show. Well, let's shift over to what's a big mistake? We've talked about all your success or some of your success so far. So what's a big mistake that you've made and how did you learn from it?
I think when I look back, the biggest mistake is, you know, I can think of a recent partnership where I partnered with somebody to flip a house and I just didn't pick the right partner, you know? And I think the end of the day, I was kind of the capital on the deal and they were supposed to get the work done. And, I just didn't do my due diligence properly. But most importantly, I just didn't pay attention to my gut. You know, I kind of knew from the beginning and in retrospect, I look back and go, you know, if I would have paid a little more attention to my intuition on this deal, I would have known up front not to get in it. And it turned out okay. It wasn't disastrous or anything like that. It just was definitely more of a time suck and more stress for me than I would have preferred. You know, if I had that particular deal to do over again, I just wouldn't have done it. So, you know, partnerships are amazing and they've allowed me to grow very rapidly, but it doesn't mean that they're perfect. I mean, so I think the lesson there is, do your due diligence on any partners and make it sure it's somebody you want to spend time with. You know, I mean, aside from the competency, my criteria, and this is not for everybody, but my criteria is this somebody I like, you know, is this somebody I wouldn't mind hanging out with? Not that I will, but you know, you're going to be spending some time with these people and getting things done. And so I think personality fit is very important to me. Of course, competency is number one and they got to be able to do the job. Another thing with partnerships is no overlapping responsibilities, you know? And so if you got very clear cut responsibilities, then that can make for a good partnership. Whereas if you've got overlapping responsibilities and then you've got the opportunity for somebody to say, I thought you were going to get that. And then you can kind of shift some blame around. So that's kind of a recent kind of failure in the business that I'm kind of glad to be past. And it just makes me extremely grateful for the partnerships that I do have now, that they're good fits. And, you know, it makes me a little more careful, I think, on partnering on projects moving forward. So that's kind of one failure that, I can point to. And, you know, there are plenty in my business that I can point to, but you know, nothing's been catastrophic or anything like that. And all of them 100% have been learning experiences. And I think, you know, that's just kind of the price you pay as an entrepreneur is you've got to be willing to take some knocks and just keep on moving. I mean, God, how cliche is that? But it's just the nature of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And I want to go back to don't overlap responsibilities. That was a mistake in one of my partnerships that we made was just not having a clear understanding of responsibilities and knowing who does what. I mean, the partner was very good at a few things and right, we should have fully utilized that. However, we didn't. He was doing a lot of the stuff that I was really good at. And so we would just kind of be doing everything. Both of us were doing everything. I think that was kind of counterintuitive to our business. So we did well in the business, but I think as it went, I would say, and this is to my fault, my partner really didn't know what to do in the business because I would do everything, he would do everything, and it was just like this confusion. And so it just wasn't a good fit. So yeah, I agree. Going back to that, don't overlap your responsibilities. Have a clear understanding of what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, my multifamily business, one of the reasons I just love the structure is it's so crystal clear. I mean, I'm the asset manager and I'm the sponsor. Let's say like I'm closing 130 units next month. Well, you know, the responsibilities are very clear for me. I identified the deal. I underwrote the deal. I raised the capital, about $2 million for the deal, and I'm responsible for executing the business plan. So that's great. All my limited partner investors, they have zero responsibility except for writing the check and doing their due diligence on me and making sure they're comfortable investing with me. So very clear responsibility there. I'm not relying on any of my limited partners to do anything on the project. And then I've got my property management company. So I personally am not responsible for hiring and firing staff, things like that. I'm going to have input on that stuff, but I don't have the day-to-day responsibility. And then I've got a construction management company on there for our rehab. That's very clear job description for them. And so I just love the way it all breaks out to where there's zero overlapping responsibility and there's never anybody shooting an email off that says, hey, were you supposed to get this or was I? I mean, that does not happen at all. And so I think that's just a joy for me to work that way because everybody's got responsibility. And then what comes with that is the accountability. You know, it's very easy to hold people to account and say, this is very clearly your duty and here was our metric and, you know, are we below it? Are we above it? And it's, I think it just makes the whole machine run a lot smoother.
Devin, for somebody who's trying to get to your level, you've got 750 units under management. And if they want to get to that level, what would you suggest? Do you think going the single family route or the small multifamily route first is a good idea? Or would you just say, hey, you know, go right in? Or what's your advice on that?
That's such a great question because it's such a naturally occurring question, I think, for people that are looking into multifamily investing to ask that question at some point kind of early in their career. I absolutely think that they should go into the multifamily and not even touch a single family house. But I want to clarify that because I kind of have a system for going into the multifamily that I've seen work for a lot of people. The single family skills transferring to multifamily, there's going to be some stuff that transfers. I mean, if you're a CPA and you've never touched a rehab or something, there may be some value out of managing a rehab or whatever. But I don't think that the skill set you're going to get from single family is really even, frankly, even doing one project if your end goal is to be a multifamily sponsor. And, you know, and you said in your question, somebody that's looking to get to, you know, owning multiple properties. So if that is your end goal, and if it's not, that's fine. But if it is your end goal, then I would recommend kind of a three-step process in the multifamily world. The first step is the easiest, and that is to invest in somebody's deal. You know, get to know sponsors, do your due diligence on them. You can go to countless events all over the country. You might have local meetups in your market. You can listen to podcasts and reach out to people. I mean, we're more connected than ever before, and there's no reason not to connect with multifamily sponsors. So the first step is you can invest in somebody's deal. That's going to give you a real world understanding of the process without having any actual responsibility. So that's step one. Step two is to try to get into the general partnership of a deal. You might do this by adding some kind of value to that partnership. That might be, hey, if you're a doctor and you have a strong balance sheet, I mean, I've had this conversation with countless, you know, doctors or dentists that want to get in and I say, well, maybe you'll go in with a sponsor who needs a strong balance sheet and sign on a non-recourse loan. A non-recourse means that the general partners are not going to be held personally liable for the loan. There's some nuances in there I won't get into, but in general, they're pretty safe loans to be a part of, these big non-recourse loans. And one of the reasons we love multifamily, among other things. So getting into the general partnership, you know, by being a key principal, or maybe you're partnering with somebody to where you're able to raise some capital out of your network. You know, I did a deal recently where we raised $2 million and we raised 2.5. I raised 1.4, and I had a partner in another state raise 1.1. And so we're partners on that deal. We have very clearly defined roles and responsibilities. So he doesn't have a ton going on in terms of asset management, but he was able to raise over $1 million for that project without me actually having to go out and spend all that time raising that capital, he could just kind of plug in. And so now he's an owner in that deal, has a great chunk of equity in that deal and so forth, but he doesn't have the day-to-day asset management responsibilities. So step one would be to be a limited partner, passive investor. Step two would be to be a general partner in some form, whether it's raising capital on a deal, whether that's being a key principal or some other capacity there. And then step three would be to go out and sponsor your own deal, where you're actually the asset manager, you're locating it, you're underwriting it, negotiating it, you know, doing all those things that a sponsor does. It doesn't happen overnight, right? So you can go the club route, you can join somebody's club and learn how to do these things, and you might be subject to some rules and regulations within that club, which was how I started and have since left that model. Now I'm kind of out in the wild raising capital, you know, and doing these projects, basically finding my own deals that make sense and getting my own group of investors to invest in those projects. So it's not an overnight process, but I think it could probably happen over the course of a couple of years where somebody could replace a high earning W-2 income by doing this. And I think, again, it's that three-step process. Invest passively. That's going to increase your skill set. Try to get in the general partnership of a deal. And then the third step would be to run the deal. And of course, all along the way, I recommend education and mentorship to really streamline and speed up your process.
No, that's great. Definitely appreciate those, you know, those three tips. I think that's anybody can get started without the single family. And I would agree with you. I mean, there's no harm in investing in a single family or duplex or, you know, fourplex, but it's not a necessary step that I think so many people think that it is.
Right. And I agree. There's no harm. You know, if you do the right investment, it's going to be a good investment. I think the danger, and this is, you know, this is what happened to me too. I spent several years in the single family world operating under the premise that, boy, I really needed to get some experience first before I go into this multifamily world. Had I known that I could have just passively invested and then gone through this three-step process I just mentioned, I would have gone that route. So I think the danger was that, you know, I was really very busy in the single family world operating under kind of the false assumption that I had to do that first.
Yeah, Devin, I took 8 years before I decided it was time to graduate. So I
get right. Where you're coming. Yeah, we've all done it. Fair enough.
Yep. So take us through your mind shift to becoming an entrepreneur. What was that like? Or maybe that's you were always one.
Well, I had the benefit. I definitely have gone through the transition in the last few years, and it's just been tremendous. I think maybe a lot of people are kind of on that path that you know, seeking to get out of the W-2 world. The W-2 world has a very special gravity to it that is very difficult to overcome. You know, I had this interesting experience where I actually left a corporate job, landed at a place where I knew it was going to be my last corporate job, and I worked there for 2 years, the entire time with the intention of leaving as soon as I got my passive income up. So it was a really weird experience there because I was extremely intentional about this being my last corporate job. So I would not go to lunch with people. I didn't really make any friends with anybody at work. I mean, I just went in, did my job and left because I didn't want to have these emotional connections to people. And then you go to lunch with the corporate people and all they want to do is complain about the job. And I was so mentally checked out that, you know, it's kind of straddling both worlds for a couple of years there. It was very difficult, but you've got to figure out a way to, I think, overcome that gravity of the W-2 world, because I think it keeps plenty more people in than the few that kind of break out of it. So I had the advantage growing up that I had a very entrepreneurial older brother. He was always into karate, ended up opening a karate school and then a number of schools and then selling that business and having a good exit. And so I always had him as an example, but you know, I went to college and went into the corporate world and was kind of on that track for a few years before I, you know, in 2008, I came across Rich Dad, Poor Dad and really the 4-Hour Work Week, which, you know, tactically, maybe there's not anything in there that, that I use, but just kind of as a vision and as a dream for my life, 4-hour work week was really important. And so it was finding those ideas of passive income and building a business and creating a lifestyle first that were really inspirational to me. And it, you know, it took me a number of years burning the candle at both ends, but I was determined to make it work. And so multifamily really for me is just a means to an end to have kind of this lifestyle and some of the financial goals that, that I have. And this has been the business model that's been able to facilitate that.
Awesome. What are some goals moving forward? Where's your business going?
Yeah. So my goal, is to get to 1,000 units, you know, under management here. And so we're always touring properties and looking at properties. One of my other goals is to hire an asset manager when I get to 1,000 units. So I want somebody that's handling a lot of the day-to-day stuff that I do. I think unless some revelation occurs to me, I think I will be investor relations always and forever. Somebody's giving me $50,000 to invest in a project, they can always get me on the cell phone and they can always talk to me forever. I don't think I ever give that responsibility away. But there are a lot of kind of daily asset management duties, whether it's preparing stuff for the bank or talking to the lender or gathering documents or even walking the property, checking on rehab progress. I mean, things like that can be taught and delegated. So I want to hire an asset manager. And so, you know, the unit count and bringing an asset manager into the business are kind of goals. And then I've kind of got my own fun personal goals and stuff for the family around vacations or, you know, different toys and stuff that we want. And then I've also got a free time goal where, you know, no matter what's going on with the business, I want to be able to carve out enough time for family and carve out enough time for hobbies so that I don't, you know, work all the time, because as an entrepreneur, that can be a threat in this connected world, is just to be plugged in all the time. And I think as entrepreneurs, we absolutely have to be diligent over protecting our free time. So those are kind of a high level on some of my goals.
Yeah. That last thing is actually a gem, because it's so easy to get caught up in it and be, you know, like you said, we're connected constantly. So whether you're on social media trying to post for your business or, you know, answering emails and voicemails and whatever, we're just constantly connected. It's so easy to make work your life and then never put down your phone. And then, you know, like my daughter's already 9. It's like, holy cow, time flies. And if you're not paying attention, it's just going to be, you know, too late. So.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And those of us with kids, I mean, it's such an important point. And I've struggled with this, and I'm very diligent about it now, but, you know, carving out that time. I mean, we put everything else on the calendar, right? I mean, we put a dentist appointment on the calendar and, you know, business appointments fill up our calendar during the week. But, you know, putting an hour on there for one-on-one time with your wife or your kid, or maybe it's more than an hour, and making sure, you know, at the beginning of the year, I tell my wife, okay, let's fill up the calendar with the vacations we want, because, you know, it's going to be, the quarters are just going to kind of fly by. And if we don't get those vacations on the calendar we want this year, then, you know, this is going to be a missed opportunity this year, especially with young kids. So just making sure to calendar those things I mean, obviously family is more important than all this stuff, but sometimes our calendar doesn't reflect that.
Yeah, absolutely. What's a favorite book that you've read or maybe that you're reading right now?
Yeah, there's a few. One that I'm reading right now or just finished is a book called Willpower Doesn't Work. Tremendous book. I also like Profit First is another favorite. You know, the classics, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich. And I consider 4-Hour Workweek a classic in my own life story. I mean, that was just a very pivotal book for me. Those are some of the classics. And so, but yeah, Profit First was fantastic. And Willpower Doesn't Work was another recent great one. I recommend both those highly.
Cool. What's one daily habit that helps set you up for success?
Well, I used to struggle with, back to this connectivity issue, wake up at 5 a.m., roll over, grab the phone off the nightstand, start checking social media, and then, evil of evils, start checking emails. I mean, first thing in the morning, rolled over. First of all, you know, if you email me, you're not going to be upset if I don't email you back at 5:15 in the morning, right? Nobody's expecting that, but I was still reading these emails. And then you kick into work mode, you kick into kind of panic mode on, oh man, I need to do this and this and this. It's the most awful way to start your day. So I've cut out that habit. I turn my email off in the evenings, and I don't turn it on again until I am sitting in front of a computer ready to start my day. Maybe that's at 7 a.m., but maybe I'm going to go play a little golf and that's at 10 a.m., right? So whatever the start of my day is, I don't turn on the email and dive in until then. So what I do is I wake up, I have my coffee, and I write. I usually write for 15 to 30 minutes. And this is no email, no phone, no checking social media or anything like that. It's just opening the computer and writing, typically about my goals or what challenges I'm having, and just getting that stuff out of my head. I call it it's just taking out the trash, you know? And so you by clearing my mental space every morning, typically about halfway through writing, maybe 5-10 minutes in, it becomes very apparent what's blocking me and kind of what problems I'm having in the way I'm thinking about things. And then I can kind of set my day up to address that in a better way. And so that having that alone quiet time in the morning to just write and to not check in with any of the device stuff has been really just a fantastic habit that I've been able to adhere to every day.
Love it. Love it. Last question. What are your three pillars of wealth creation?
Yeah, that's a great question. Do you have a format that these go in, or I just take the question as is.
This is like what comes to mind. So three pillars of wealth creation, whatever comes to mind doesn't matter.
Yep. So if I'm looking at the table that is wealth and three sturdy legs that are holding it up, one is going to be leverage. Absolutely. I mean, this life is too short, and you know, I'm a first generation entrepreneur. So I've had to build this thing up from my own capital and my own, kind of trials and tribulations. This is not a family business or anything like that for me. So I've been focused on being able to go fast because I have big dreams and time is flying. So leveraging other people's knowledge, leveraging other people's capital, and leveraging other people's time and energy and skills is how you do that faster. So I think leverage is absolutely a component of that, or a pillar of wealth. The other one would be the right people. You know, I mean, this whole thing is having the right people in the right places, whether that's partners or investors or vendors. I mean, you just have to have the right people in there. And so I think, you know, leverage is one pillar. I think people is a second pillar. And the third pillar is, there's probably a lot of things I could substitute in there, but I think it's a vision for your life, because we're not just chasing dollars here or zeros in a bank account. I hope not. I mean, if you are, you know, really what we're chasing is the things that money can buy, and you know, the free time and the time with loved ones, or the ability to take the vacation that you want to take, or maybe you spend more on certain kind of food because it's healthier and you don't care that it costs twice as much because money, you know, that kind of issue is not a budget constraint for you. So having a vision for what you want your life to be like, I think is a very important part of wealth, because it's not just a money chasing game. I mean, it's gotta be the whole package of health and relationships and everything, or the money is just a piece of it. And on its own, it really doesn't mean much.
Awesome. Well, Devin, how can our listeners get in touch with you, learn more about what you're doing, and say hi?
Yeah, I think the company website is probably the easiest kind of catch-all place. It links out to different social media, and I've got a bunch of video content and stuff on there. The company website is DJE Texas. That's Delta Juliet Echo Texas.com. And feel free to shoot a note. Or, you know, you can even get on there and schedule a call with me and chat about this investing stuff, and be happy to have a chat with your listeners.
All right. Special thanks to Devin Elder for joining us on the show. Appreciate him taking time out of his day and sharing with us a ton of value. So three things I took from Devin. First of all, systems and people. Think about the who before the how. And then, of course, think about, you know, your systems, your processes along that way. The next thing he talks about is just getting started. So many people dream about being a business owner, a real estate investor, or whatever it is, and they just never really get started. So just get started and make sure you really put both feet in. Don't just dip your toes in. So he talks about, you know, investing in someone else's deal, getting into the general partnership of a deal, just bring something of value, whatever you need to do to get some of the general partnership. It doesn't need to be all. And then the last thing he talks about is, and then go sponsor your own deal. Be the general partner, be the main person or you know, partnership that is going out and putting that deal together. The last thing is the vision for your life. He talks about don't chase the money in your bank account. Make sure you're focused on the vision for your life. And I think that's really important. So three great things that Devin brought to the show, along with many others. Definitely, I've got a list of things that I wrote down that I thought were extremely valuable. So again, I appreciate him joining us today. And I appreciate you spending time with us today, listening. And if you haven't already, go on to iTunes, subscribe to our show, give us a rating and review. We'd love to see that. And then connect with us on Facebook and give us some feedback. Let us know what you like, maybe what you don't like. Let us know what kind of questions you have, too. On every Wednesday, we answer any questions that, you know, people bring to us. So feel free to ask questions. We'd love to answer whatever is on your mind, or try to, you know, and we just want this to be a community where everybody can learn and grow together. I learn a ton on these shows. I hope you do as well. So I'm Todd Dexheimer. I'm signing out. Make every day Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.